Good morning, and welcome to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry brought to you by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. The first broadcast of the Word of Grace took place on January 28, 1969, with the founding minister, the Reverend Donald Campbell. We are now entering into our 51st year. We are grateful to God for the comfort and inspiration which so many have received from the broadcast over the years. Financial support for our radio ministry comes from listeners throughout the Eastern Townships and beyond. We are grateful for the faithful support we have received. It is especially helpful to receive donations over the course of the year. Memorial donations given in memory of deceased relatives and friends may be made at any time. Our prayerful hope and expectation is that the broadcast will continue to be heard well into the future. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Remember also that you can access the program at any time on the website of CJMQ, www.cjmq.fm.
Good morning, and on this Sunday, the 23rd of August, welcome to this broadcast of the Word of Grace on CJMQ Radio. My name is Nigel Parker, Minister of St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church here in Sherbrooke, and together with our supporters, we're glad to have you listening in, whether you're a new listener or whether you're a long-standing member of the audience. Words from Psalm 138. I will praise you, Lord, with all my heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise. I will bow down towards your holy temple and will praise your name for your unfailing love and your faithfulness. For you have so exalted your solemn decree that it surpasses your fame. When I called, you answered me. You greatly emboldened me. May all the kings of the earth praise you, Lord, when they hear what you have decreed. May they sing of the ways of the Lord, for the glory of the Lord is great. Let us pray. Eternal God, you are the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and yet you come to us afresh each new day. New every morning is your love. You breathe new life into what has grown tired and discouraged. You offer healing for what is worn and broken. You restore hope when things seem impossible. And you are the source of life and love for all your creatures. And you renew us to put our love for you into action for the well-being of your creation. And so today we worship you, our Creator, Christ and Holy Spirit, and we offer our prayers and praise to you, eternal and ever-present God, now and always. Confident of your grace and loving kindness, we confess to you our sins. We confess that we have strayed from the purposes of a merciful God. You set a path for us to follow, but we conform to the ways of this world. You give each of us gifts to use for the work of your kingdom, but we wait for others to do what needs doing. Forgive us for taking the easy way out, and renew in us the eagerness and energy to serve. Hear the good news. Who is in a position to condemn us? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. In Jesus Christ we are forgiven and set free by God's generous grace. So let us make a fresh start today. Lord, you are the source of all wisdom and understanding. In and in a world that's so full of competing voices, let us hear your word for our times. Send your Holy Spirit to help us discern your will and follow the path Jesus sets for us as your living word. In his name we pray. Amen. Our reading this morning comes from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, reading from verse 13 through to verse 20. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" And they replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You're the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." And then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. Amen. A man went into a psychiatrist because he was having an identity crisis. "Some days I feel like a teepee," he says, "and then on other days I feel like a wigwam. I just don't know which one is true. One day teepee, the next wigwam, teepee, wigwam, teepee, wigwam, teepee, wigwam." The psychiatrist yelled at him, "Get a grip, man! You're too tense!" Think about it. Too tense. Teepee, wigwam, teepee. Okay, let's just leave it there. But I tell that joke simply because it's a joke about identity. And today's passage from Matthew's Gospel is all about identity. Jesus has been ministering and performing miracles all throughout the region. However, the Pharisees and Sadducees don't think very much of Jesus. They don't like him at all, in fact. And Jesus knows what they think of him. And in this passage, he's going to ask what others think of him. Jesus and his disciples are in the region of Caesarea Philippi. Now, you don't need much language skill to know that a town called Caesarea Philippi was named for a Roman emperor, a Caesar, named who? Called Philip. It was a Roman town in a Jewish land. But along with the Roman name, they had brought their Roman religion and added it to that which was already there. Archaeologists tell us that there was a temple outside a cave dedicated to the worship of the god Pan. And before the Romans, the Canaanites had worshipped their god Baal there. And the rock face outside the town was covered with carved alcoves for worshipping various gods. And near a cave there, which the Romans believed was the entrance to the world of demons, there were several pagan temples. So Caesarea Philippi was a site of do-it-yourself religion, or pick-and-mix religion. These temples were placards, advertising hoardings, billboards, if you like, declaring whatever kind of God you wanted to believe in. So it was a good place for Jesus to ask the question about his identity. In the midst of the disdain of the Jewish religious leaders, in the midst of this area dominated by pagan religion, Jesus asks the crucial questions. And the first was a general question. Jesus is gathered with his disciples, and he knows that people have said things about him. And he surely already knows what people have said about him, but he purposely initiates this conversation with his disciples. He asks them this general question concerning who people think he is. He asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" And they replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." And the disciples responded to Jesus' question regarding who others thought that he was. And the people apparently thought that Jesus was one of the former Jewish prophets. And they named three very famous prophets who may have come back from the dead: Elijah, Jeremiah, and John the Baptist. And they even say others think that he might have been a different prophet. And one might wonder why people thought Jesus was one of these prophets. Well, they're certainly monumental figures in the history of Judaism who did special things during the time of their ministry. Jesus was obviously doing some very special works, so the people thought maybe one of these guys had come back. Remember, not everyone knew all the details about Jesus. Some were going off of what they had heard from others, or perhaps one glimpse of Jesus that they had seen. The people knew something was special about Jesus, but they did not know how special he was. But the disciples knew Jesus in a deeper way, which is why Jesus moved on from a general question to ask the more pressing question, from the general question to the more pressing question, a more specific question. This question matters more than the first question. Verse 15, "But you," he asked them, "who do you say that I am?" And the question gets to the heart of the disciples' understanding of who Jesus is and why he came. The first question was the setup for the second question. And this is the pressing question for all of us, in the church and out of the church. It is a question that is time sensitive and future changing. Who do you say Jesus is? And the heart penetrating question is followed with a heart filled answer. For Peter, on behalf of the other disciples, says, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus responded, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven." Simon Peter is sometimes referred to as Simon, sometimes Peter, and sometimes Simon Peter. And if you know about him, you know that he's not afraid to speak up. And in this case up, he speaks upon behalf of the disciples and delivers a glorious answer to Jesus' question. In the middle of a town named for a Roman emperor, in the site where pagan gods were worshipped, in the midst of religious leaders rejecting Jesus, in the middle of the people having a substandard view of Jesus' identity, Peter announces, "You are the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. You're the Son of the living God." Peter didn't always get it right, but he got it right this time. Jesus is presented in the Gospel as both the Messiah, the Anointed One, and the Son of God. He's not just a good teacher. He's not just a miracle worker. He's not just another one who had a close relationship with God. He is the presence of God on earth, the Son of God. And Peter understood this, and we must as well. And Jesus himself acknowledged that Peter had got it right. How do we know? Well, Jesus commended Peter. He said, "Blessed are you." Jesus says Peter is blessed because of what he said about Jesus. He didn't correct Peter. He didn't say, "You got it close." He says that you are blessed, Peter. And then Jesus says, in essence, that this profession of faith by Peter is so blessed that Peter couldn't even have come up with it on his own. He couldn't have reasoned it out for himself. He couldn't have learnt it by human wisdom. Peter was only able to understand the role of Jesus, his identity, and believe in Jesus because God revealed it to him. Jesus says, "Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven." And only God can reveal this kind of truth. Sometimes we may wonder why people don't believe, despite all the evidence what we may think and we may trust, to believe that Jesus is God's presence on earth, the means by which we can draw close to God and have a special relationship with him. It's because God himself must open our eyes to his truth. We need God to help us receive God. God's revelation of himself, the testimony in creation, in the stories, in the Bible, God has revealed himself supremely by becoming a human. He became like us and walked and served and taught among us. And God's great act of self-revelation was in Jesus the Christ. The Word became flesh, says John's Gospel. And this divine Word we know as Jesus Christ. The Son of God set aside the privileges of being God and came to earth as fully human, dying for our sins, being raised from the dead, and sending his Spirit to initiate the church. Christ's coming disturbed the people of his day. Why? Because their picture of God wasn't big enough. Yet Jesus told his disciples, "Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." In short, God had revealed himself in Jesus the Christ. Will you not seek him? Look for him. Read the stories about him in the Gospels, seek him in prayer, join with his people, the Church of God, and find that Jesus is not just one name amongst many, but to those who believe and trust in him, he is the name above all names. Amen. Let us turn to God in prayer. Let us pray. We give you thanks and praise, O God, and offer ourselves to you as a living sacrifice, for you have never allowed the gates of hell to prevail against us. You're the creator of the earth and sky, the author of all that's good and acceptable and perfect. In your Son, Jesus the Christ, you have again been with us to save us from the snares of the enemy. In him, people saw the courage of John the Baptist, the fiery passion of Elijah, the faithfulness of Jeremiah. And though he was killed, you raised Jesus to life and revealed him to us as your chosen Messiah, the one in whom we are reconciled as one body, gifted and called to unlock your kingdom on earth. Dear Lord, we don't always or even often understand you. We don't see you clearly. Our eyes are so easily blinded, our vision clouded by the voices that call for our obedience and devotion. We need what Peter received, that power greater than ourselves, that insight that comes only from your Spirit, that we might believe, trust, and follow. In the example of your Son Jesus, Lord, you gave the gift of serving. With this gift, encourage your servant church to work with those made vulnerable by structures of power and privilege. Show us how to share the abundance in our country with lives and communities that often lack even basic resources. With the inspiration of your Spirit, O God, you give the gift of teaching. As a church that can value teaching, engage us to support access to education for every child. And we pray for teachers and students as they prepare for another year of working together. Help us encourage each person who shares in a learning community this year. Through the love and compassion of Christ, O God, you give the gift of encouragement. Help us in our congregations and churches to see where and how we should reach out to hearten any who are struggling. Give us the words and actions to comfort those who mourn, to be companions to those coping with mental or physical illness, and support any who feel isolated or left behind. Inspire us to add our energy and experience to the care of creation, as loyal followers of Jesus, who embodied all your gifts and taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen.
You've been listening to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry brought to you each Sunday at this time by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. Our church is located on Queen Street in Lennoxville. We have a strong tradition of service in this area. We continue to work for the advancement of Christ's kingdom. We honor the past and welcome the future by being faithful in the present. I encourage you to worship in a church of your choice, a place where you can grow in your faith and actively serve in the cause of Christ. Our prayer is that each church in our community will be blessed as we are faithful to God. Please consider supporting our broadcast with a financial donation. We rely upon your support. Tax receipts are issued for contributions. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec. The postal code is J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Bye for now. Thanks for listening, and may God's blessing be with each one of us.